Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
Another great day, another great week, in fact, in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It is a great day when the president has just announced that he will be offering another news conference about an hour from now. We will go to it live. I think there are a lot of people who are ardently hoping that the purpose of the news conference will be to announce some kind of agreement on some kind of rescue or aid package by the Congress of the United States, Republicans and Democrats and the administration all getting together on something to keep this economy maybe not quite on the road to recovery, but at least taking the first steps in that direction. We will cover all of that, but first up, one of my favorite guests and one of my favorite thinkers is Dr. David Gelernter, who is a professor of computer science at Yale. And I particularly wanted to speak to him because he's written a piece in the Wall Street Journal that says 18 is too young to vote, but also because he's an author of a book 13 years ago called Americanism, the Fourth Great Western Religion. And I also want to speak, David, with you a little bit about Americanism and where we are now as far as that religion is concerned. But first off, okay, you want to undo the 26th Amendment and return the voting age from 18 to 21. Why?
Well, I work essentially every day with students 18 to 21. I teach at Yale, and these are a very carefully picked group of students. They're smart and they're interesting, and I love talking to them. But even these elite, you might say, privileged students really don't know very much about what's happening in the world. And the college doesn't help them along. It distributes the New York Times free every morning to every single dorm room on campus. But more generally, Yale is an exception in some ways. Across the country, it seems to me, when I talk to this grade of these ages of adolescence becoming adults, they barely notice the world passing them at all. Now, you know, the same might be said of many American citizens nowadays in the age of laziness. But the 18 to 21s have been voting, you might say, as a special privilege. It was not part of our plan for many generations. We popped it into the Constitution at the time of the Vietnam War for a special reason, which no longer holds today. We're no longer sending young men against their wills, because they're kind of conscripted, into battle and possible death, but not allowing them to vote. We don't do that anymore. So whether or not that was a good reason, I'm not sure it was, to extend the vote down to 18. It's no longer so. And I don't know any good reason why our inclination to say you're adult when you're 21 shouldn't apply to voting, which is as important or more important than nearly any other privilege we can extend to an American citizen.
But to get this done, there would have to be a constitutional amendment. You'd need two-thirds support in the House and Senate, and then three-quarters of all the state legislatures. What do you rank of the chances of getting that as?
Right now, zero.
Good.
But the swings in the American mood in recent years, in recent decades, have been so dramatic that it could very well become an issue. I don't think it's likely to become a big issue anytime soon, but you never know. People might take a look at colleges. I think when the present establishment of colleges because it does its job badly and charges outrageous prices for failing to do what we pay it to do, it will crumble. And I think at that point, people will start reflecting a little bit on these adolescent Americans.
Well, again, part of what you're saying, and I know you're right because I remember my own undergraduate years, is that there's a very big difference in just maturity and sort of handling some of the challenges of life that you have when you're 21 and you're graduating into the real world than when you're 18 and you're graduating from high school and for many people into colleges and universities. But for a lot of people, going to places like Yale, doesn't that just mean four more years of propaganda that people have taken in to sort of move them to the secular left?
Absolutely. On the one hand, it's a pummeling, a relentless pummeling with of left-wing liberal, but more left-wing propaganda. On the other hand, it can be so relentless that people become resentful. The more intelligent students, if not changing their affiliations, start to think it over a little bit. Why does every single professor on this campus say exactly the same thing, even though they do a million different things and there are a million different kinds of people, but they all agree on this one doctrine? There's something weird about it. I mean, I've had people say essentially that. But it's also true that college is the least important thing that happens to adolescents. I mean, they're growing up, and the important things they're doing have nothing to do with college. They are often getting a serious job during the summer, not just a summer job, but maybe a job that prepares them for permanent employment. They're falling in love in a serious way as opposed to a high school way, in a way that used to prepare people for getting married, but now it's still different in tone from younger stuff, and so experience dealing with the United States government, dealing with state government and local governments, dealing with their colleges, which are often big and complicated institutions, they can't avoid these kinds of experience that inevitably makes them more grown up.
Okay, I want to get to the problem with the national mood right now. And I know, David, even though we haven't spoken about it, that you surely share some of the dread and horror that many of us feel looking at the level of polarization, of apocalypticism, of basic craziness that seems to have taken over so much of the country. I see that the Illinois Board of Education is being pressed to suspend the teaching of history, to suspend the teaching of any American history until they can make it more sensitive to Black Lives Matter. What happened to the Americanism that you wrote about so beautifully in your 2007 book on the fourth great Western religion?
Well, I think there's nothing too stupid to be advanced by an intellectual, and especially an academic. But I don't think that it's true that this bizarre stupidity, let's abolish the teaching of history, is a characteristic that's running wild in the country. I think it's running wild within about half of the country. I mean, it is a very polarized nation. You won't find Republicans, or I don't know of any, asking for this bizarre legislation and rulemaking, nor does every Democrat do that. They're still responsible Democrats. I think right now, in many cases, they're scared of speaking up because they know they'll be ostracized immediately. But they're still there. I believe the Democratic Party is not quite dead and will recover sanity, I hope, God willing, in 5-10 years. And at that point, the profile of the country will change, and I think it will move back to normality.
Let us hope for recovery. We're speaking to David Gelernter. We're posting his column about 18, too young to vote. It's at michaelmedved.com. We'll be right back.
more of Michael Medved in a moment.
Have you had the chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, faithandfreedom.com, or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com? They're a top think tank in the nation for the application of faith and freedom. That's why I visit Grove City College every year to be part of their annual conference, speaking on more than a dozen different topics to a total of thousands of participants. I'm proud to broadcast this show from their campus every year when I'm there, because it's such a wonderful event. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the pandemic, but I encourage you to visit their website. All of their past conferences are available. You can catch my talks along with many other great presentations. Dr. Paul Kenger, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ross Douthat, Ralph Peters, Robbie George, and many, many more. Go to faithandfreedom.com to see wonderful presentations from the sharpest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com, or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com.
The coronavirus pandemic has thrown our nation into somewhat of a chaotic situation, and we now find ourselves in completely uncharted territory. As usual, the media presents a confusing, often exaggerated portrayal of events. So where can you go for reliable information? The American Council on Science and Health, ACSH. ACSH is a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. Their expert scientists and medical doctors have been communicating science to the public since 1978. At ACH.org, you'll get answers to all your coronavirus questions. How does it spread? Should I wear a mask? Will there be a treatment? How can I keep my family safe? ACSH also debunks common myths, such as vitamin C being a cure. ACSH provides indispensable analysis in this era of disinformation. You can sign up for a free daily newsletter and contribute to this vital organization. Go to ACSH.org today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech carbine upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Yesterday in Evanston, Illinois, which is a very nice, very lovely suburb of Chicago, it's also the home of Northwestern University, a state representative, Representative LaShawn K. Ford, called a press conference titled, with a news release titled, Representative Ford Today in Evanston to call for the abolishment of history classes in Illinois schools. just what they need. And the press release says that that Representative Ford has asked the Illinois State Board of Education and school districts to immediately remove history curriculum and books that, quote, unfairly communicate history until a suitable alternative is developed. And he says, I'm calling on the Illinois State Board of Education and local school districts to take immediate action by removing current history books and curriculum practices that unfairly communicate our history. David Galanter, who's a professor, he's a polymath. He's a very gifted painter. He is one of the leading computer scientists in the world. He's a wonderful writer. I particularly love his book, 1939, The Lost World of the Fair, and his book, Americanism, The Fourth Great World Religion. So what happens to Americanism if we don't even learn the history of one nation under God, indivisible? Oh, David Galanter.
Well, on the one hand, this proposal that history teaching be abolished will be treated as a joke by the vast majority. I mean, it is a joke, except it's not a very funny one. Although the idea of a congressman thinking that abolishment is a word is funny. But
right. You should know the word abolition, right?
Yeah, of course. People won't treat this seriously because it's so absurd on the face of it. He's saying, let's ban unfair books or burn them. I don't know. Well, what's an unfair book? I mean, it's such
an obvious piece of stupidity. You know that in the demonstrations over the weekend in Portland, they had a whole pile of guess what book that they lit on fire together with the American flag.
Yeah, but this stuff...
It's the Bible.
Yeah, but it doesn't attract Americans. It revolts them. May even be responsible for the tick up in Trump's popularity. But it's unfair to look at these grotesque events and treat them as signs of the mood of the country. I mean, the country is in plenty of trouble. It certainly has been uneducated or undereducated and taken advantage of in a lot of ways by its education system and by its cultural elite, its cultural establishment for years and years. But I don't think these new demonstrations that are designed to be ridiculous on their faces is a sign of anything but boredom. I mean, you know, people haven't been getting out a lot, and as other people have noticed, and many people have nothing to amuse them aside from going out and mixing with their friends and enemies on the street. So, you know, this is a time when you expect grotesque behavior. But the real problem is colleges and schools who do teach history and will go on teaching history for as long as they exist as institutions, but they teach it unfair is a reasonable word to use. Unscholarly and untrue are better terms. They teach it so badly that the kind of history students come out knowing, or adults come out knowing, is a weak parody of history. So we really need to turn to the schools we pay for and the colleges we pay for and tell them to get with it or we'll get rid of you. I mean, we can see the approach of the end of the schools and the end of the colleges right now. People have been denouncing education, remote classes by means of Zoom, and I agree with them. Using Zoom as your software basis is absurd, and Zoom was never intended for that purpose. But if somebody put 5 minutes into thinking about how software for this purpose should be designed, or an hour, or even a whole day, it would be clear, it would will be clear that although this method is worse in many ways than face-to-face learning, worse in most ways than face-to-face learning, it's also better in certain ways. And face-to-face learning, as its authority diminishes by the jokers in the humanities and social sciences, is inviting people to check out the alternatives. And its product gets worse and worse. Its prices get higher and higher. Something is going to happen, and we have the technology to make it happen. Things will change.
Do we have the technology, David Galanter, and you would know, to actually conduct a safe, secure, fair, honest national election? Or is that beyond the capability of Americans at the moment?
Well, you know, the technology we've always relied on is American citizens, particularly local citizens, knowing their own neighborhoods and recognizing who's part of it, who's part of them, and who isn't. It's a wonderful technology. It's worked for many generations. And although it doesn't work quite the way it used to, obviously, as people know fewer and fewer, lower and lower percentage of the areas in which they live, nonetheless, it's there. I think the potential problem with the election is with new technologies as opposed to relying on those old technologies. I mean, the idea that massive mail-in voting could possibly work has been rejected as absurd, again, for generations, because it's so obviously stable. Figure out which ballots are valid and which aren't, which voters are valid and which aren't, and all this, whether the ballots were distributed correctly or illegally, these are huge problems. Everybody has known about them for so long that although the Democratic Party, some Democrats have chosen to make a huge issue of recommending mail-in ballots, and that could cause huge damage to our elections. And if our elections are hugely damaged, our democracy will be hugely damaged. But there are a fair number of Democrats who would like to see that, who think democracy is shot and it's time to move directly to the dictatorship of the intellectuals. There are people who think this way. I mean, they're not going to publish op-eds about
Let's hope that they're in the same category of the people who are burning Bibles and flags in Portland. David Galanter, always a pleasure speaking with you. We will be right back on the Medved Show.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is signing an executive order aimed at prioritizing American workers.
Today I'm signing an executive order to ensure that the federal government lives by a very simple rule: hire American. We've been doing it at a level that hasn't been done maybe ever. I'll also be taking firm disciplinary action against the leadership of the Tennessee Valley Authority, which has sadly and cruelly betrayed American workers.
The order targets job outsourcing within federal agencies that replace American jobs with inexpensive foreign labor. Top leaders from both sides of the aisle are meeting to discuss a new stimulus plan. Enhanced unemployment benefits did expire on Friday for millions of Americans as Democrats rejected a Republican plan, a short-term plan, to keep those intact. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Michael Medved show, there was a arrest by cops of protesters in Washington, D.C. And this is brutal. The protesters, at least several of whom were female, were handcuffed. What did they do? I mean, I thought protesters, and these were peaceful protesters, they weren't doing anything violent. The D.C. police arrested pro-life demonstrators who went outside a Planned Parenthood where they had gotten a permit to demonstrate, and they wrote in chalk on the sidewalk, Black Lives Matter. Can you imagine they got arrested? Oh, actually, they added one little teeny word there. They wrote on the sidewalk, Black Preborn Lives Matter. And Ala Pundit writes that Washington is the same city where the mayor recently ordered Black Lives Matter painted on the asphalt of a street near the White House to signal the city's support for the movement. Importantly, she also allowed protesters to paint their own message nearby. Mayor Muriel Bowser can have a strict or lax policy against private citizens writing on public spaces as she sees fit, but she can't discriminate based on viewpoints and deciding how to apply it. Ever since Bowser writes commissioned the painting of Black Lives Matter on 16th Street Northwest near the White House in June, activists across the country have demanded the right to paint their own messages. City officials have conceded in some cases, allowing protesters in the district, for example, to paint Defund the Police next to Bowser's original declaration. Okay, in other words, you can paint that. And he makes a good case. They weren't painting. This is chalk. It can be easily erased. You can just hose it off if you want to. But you're going to get arrested for putting black pre-born lives matter? And you get kudos. You get the mayor of New York. He participated personally in painting Black Lives Matter in front of Trump Tower. This is outrageous. This is beyond belief. Representatives of the group, led by the Students for Life of America and the Frederick Douglass Foundation, said they received a D.C. police permit to hold an event. They were told by an officer that he would not prevent them from riding on the asphalt. The group said it also sent a letter to Mayor Bowser requesting permission to paint on the street, writing, "Having opened the streets of your city for public expression, Students for Life of America request the opportunity to add our voices to those concerned about how people of color are treated in America." The mayor did not respond to the letter. The group is now planning to sue her on First Amendment grounds. David French notes the absurdity of hauling in a pair of kids for chalking, not even painting, just chalking, at a moment when BLM-associated protesters across the country are defacing buildings and monuments in far more durable ways. Yeah, like destroying the monuments and burning buildings. Why arrest anyone for mere chalking? Especially on a public sidewalk. There is a certain level of craziness here that should be unacceptable. And, of course, there's also craziness when it comes to the issue of homelessness, right? And we do have a Michael Medved homeless solidarity moment.
And now, another homeless solidarity moment from your cultural crusader.
Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again. I don't like work, and work don't like me. And that is the reason I am so hungry. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again.
Okay, this is a story from the New York Post. A homeless man is living amid an apartment's worth of furniture arranged outside the New School's University Center building, where outraged neighbors say the one thing he really needs is a bathroom. The vagrant moved in under a canopy on Fifth Avenue near West 14th Street, I know just where that is, about 3 weeks ago, along with a sprawling collection of shopping carts piled high with tables, chairs, storage boxes, and other stuff. The man, who gave his name as George, said his possessions used to belong to rich people in the West Village. They leave their items out and dispose of it on the sidewalk when they move. "So I take the rich people's items," he said. "I just put them in a shopping cart and bring them here." Now, the New School, for people who don't know New York, it used to be known as the New School for Social Research. I looked it up. It's a very elite school. Do you know how much they charge for tuition and room and board there to live and go to school in the New School? It's $71,000 a year. And I'm sorry, and now they've got this unregistered student who's right there at University Center. George, who appeared to be in his early 50s, said he formerly lived on the subways. And he did okay until May, when the system began being shut down for daily coronavirus-related cleaning from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m., ruining his sleep hours. Asked why he wasn't living in a city shelter, he said, "The shelter is murder, man. COVID-19 is there." "We called the police about six times," said Clyde Ackman, a New School security guard. "The NYPD came, and according to NYPD, the mayor said to leave the homeless people alone. I can't stand this. I'm boiled up over this day and night." A construction worker who works nearby called the situation insane. "He is stealing from the community by taking up all that space," said the hard hat, who gave his name as Frank. "He poops right by the parking meter. He poops on the sidewalk. He urinates there. It stinks. Frank, I called the cops on Monday. There was poop on the sidewalk. They came twice. Sometimes he hides inside that stuff. Not the poop, meaning the furniture he's collected. He doesn't come out. He plays like he isn't there. Dr. Ira Dreacher, an emergency room physician who lives in the neighborhood, said that it's not good for anyone having him out here, and that the city needs to do more to help homeless people out. Yeah, how about helping homeless people out of the new school? He's peeing on the street. It smells just unsanitary and unsightly, said Dr. Dreacher. He looks like he's living in a two-bedroom apartment rent-free. Marisa Klein, a Chelsea resident who works in the art industry, asked, why isn't de Blasio addressing the homeless problem? What are the cops doing? What are they thinking about? This guy is leaving his crap literally everywhere on Fifth Avenue during a pandemic. You can't help but feel angry and sad for him. Okay, City Hall and the Department of Homeless Services did not return a request for comment. George, who was in his mid-50s, who used to live on the subway, the idea that this is permitted, well, it goes along with the whole idea of no police, no problem. And de Blasio saying, leave the homeless people alone. Let them poop on the street. We will get to the problem of the rising, skyrocketing murder rate, which is a huge problem in the country, coming right up. 1-800-955-1776.
Here's a special discount just for being a MedVid annual member. 50% off any download in the MedVid History Store. Join today at michaelmedvid.com. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael MedVid Show.
This is Michael Medved, and I know you're worried, like everybody else, about the coronavirus and its impact on our future. Now, all the false, fake information spreading around the internet really does bother me, especially about the economy and how it impacts your financial future. I've always trusted Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, to advise me on the right moves. Nick?
With the government adding nearly $5 trillion in liquidity, the uptrend in metals is likely to accelerate. The problem is, the supply of physical gold, silver, and platinum is severely limited and likely to get a lot worse as various mints and refiners are closed. With my 40 years worth of connections, I can help your listeners acquire gold, silver, or platinum, even though many dealers are sold out.
Call Nick Grovich at 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. Or go to AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694 and AmericanFederal.com.
Maybe you're skeptical that Relief Factor, 100% drug-free Relief Factor, can really help you get out of pain. I can understand if Relief Factor were a brand new product. Sure, I'd be skeptical too. But Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of Relief Factor, started the company almost 7 years ago. And we've been talking about it all that time, virtually every day. And now tens of thousands of people have ordered the 3-week quick start and are taking it every day to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is here to stay for a very good reason. So go ahead, be a little skeptical, but I suggest you might become like me and so many others who've tried it, a believer. Neck, shoulder, hip, knee pain, or back pain in my case, from just getting older, exercise, or everyday living, the 3-week quick start is discounted to only $19.95. It's like a trial pack. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Or call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process, is called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
With gun theft on the rise, it's crucial that law-abiding citizens hide their guns from criminals who are now becoming desperate. Learn exactly how with the newly updated Hide Your Guns e-manual, written by a former U.S. Special Forces officer who now reveals his field-tested secrets. Whether it's sneaky ways to hide your guns in plain sight or using extremely clever hiding places that even skilled thieves will never suspect, learn how to hide other valuables too, like cash, gold coins, credit cards, so that they're safe from thieves but back in your hands instantly when needed. All this week, get 4 free bonuses when you order Gun Debate Bootcamp, How to Argue with Liberals About Guns and Win Every Time audio program, our No BS Home Defense Report, the best-selling Your Home, Your Fortress e-manual, and a special mystery bonus worth $25. Go to hideyourguns.com. That's hideyourguns.com. Don't let your guns be stolen and used in a crime. Go to hideyourguns.com.
On the Michael Medved Show, I'm actually sort of gratified to see that a movie that we heartily recommended on Friday. It's a movie called The Secret. It stars Katie Holmes and Josh Lucas. And it's not a great masterpiece, but it's a very satisfying and touching and well-done film. And it's the number one streaming movie in the country, despite the fact that most critics trashed it. Why? Because it's all about simple, decent people trying to overcome some of the obstacles in life. In any event, we will be talking about that more later. And then there's this. For more than 60 days, Black Lives Matter demonstrators, including a wall of moms and a wall of vets, have clashed with federal agents in the city, drawing national attention as authorities blasted marchers with tear gas. And the civilians at times responded with weapons of their own, such as feces. There we are again. Bleach, bricks, laser beams, or batteries. Friday night's demonstrations were largely peaceful, appearing to mark a break from the chaos as federal agents made a recent deal to allow local authorities to handle the protest. But just after midnight, marchers were caught on video using the flag and the Bible as kindling for bonfires lit outside the federal courthouse. The videos showed protesters with Black Lives Matter sign tossing multiple Bibles into a raging bonfire. The video, which has gone viral, had more than 1.8 million views and thousands of retweets. Donald Trump Jr. said in his tweet on Saturday, "Now we move to the book burning phase. I'm pretty sure that Antifa, as an anti-fascist, doesn't actually stand for what they say it stands for. Maybe just remove the anti part of their name and it's perfect," he wrote, meaning fascist. The fire was later, after the Bibles and flags were consumed, put out by members of Moms United for Black Lives Matter. And then this headline, which Jeremy Steiner, Pride of Hillsdale College, points out to me. Bloody wounds, seared skin. broken bones. Weeks of restive demonstrations in Portland are leaving an indelible mark on protesters. That was in the Portland Oregonian. By the way, what's fascinating, they say restive demonstrations. They don't say peaceful demonstrations anymore, do they? No, they can't. And it's leaving an indelible mark on the protesters. Look, if you, broken bones. And by the way, for what purpose? And bloody wounds. I feel sorry for them. But why are they there? What are they doing? And speaking about indelible marks on protesters, what about the indelible mark on that part of downtown Portland or other cities? There's also this, and it is directly related, Wall Street Journal, a great column by John Hilzenrath. And it's not a column, it's a report. He says a sharp rise in homicides this year is hitting large U.S. cities all across the country, signaling a new public safety risk unleashed during the coronavirus pandemic and amid recession and a national backlash against police. The murder rate is still low compared with previous decades, and other types of serious crime have dropped in the past 5 months. For instance, burglary. You know why burglary has dropped, they say? Crime experts say because people are home all the time. You're at home. Most burglars try to aim for hitting homes where nobody's there. And right now, houses are much more occupied. A Wall Street Journal analysis of crime statistics among the nation's 50 largest cities found that reported homicides were up 24% so far this year. 3,612 homicides. Shootings and gun violence also rose, even though many other violent crimes, such as robbery, fell. Police, researchers, mayors, and community leaders see a confluence of forces at work in the homicide spike. Institutions that keep city communities safe have been destabilized by lockdowns and protests against police. Lockdowns and recession also mean tensions are running high, and the streets have been emptied of eyes and ears on their communities. Some attribute the rise to an increase in gang violence. Some cities with long-running crime problems saw their numbers rise sharply, including Philadelphia, Detroit, and Memphis, Tennessee. Chicago, the worst hit, has tallied more than one of every eight homicides in the country. Isn't that unbelievable? Less violent places have been struck as well, such as Omaha, Nebraska, and Phoenix. In all, 36 of the 50 cities studied saw a homicide rate at double-digit rates, in other words, more than 10%, representing all regions of the country. Jens Ludwig, a University of Chicago professor, said, "I was surprised at the consistency of the increase across all of the different cities." Police in many departments said robberies, burglaries, and rapes are down so far this year because more people stayed home during COVID-19 lockdowns, leaving fewer people to be victims on the streets, in bars, or in other public places. Homicides, on the other hand, are up because violent criminals have been emboldened by the sidelining of police, courts, schools, churches, and an array of other social institutions by the reckoning with police and the pandemic, say analysts and law enforcement officials in several cities. Look, this is a very serious matter. If you talk about all of the people who have been killed in gang violence in Chicago, it's just appalling. It's just utterly appalling. Police say homicide increases are hitting low-income, mostly black and Latino communities, especially hard. The crime maps published by many cities show homicides aren't up in city centers where anti-police protests are happening. Yeah, they're too busy fighting between the protesters and the police. But instead in low-income neighborhoods outside of those city centers. And, of course, part of that is the whole purpose of the protest is to cut funding for police. What kind of morons want to authorize funding for police? They're talking in Seattle. After this disaster we had here with CHOP, the city council has voted unanimously to authorize police layoffs. What a time. What a moment to lay off law enforcement. How does that help anything? No, seriously, how does it make anything better? And the belief that suddenly, oh, if we have fewer police on the streets, then we'll all be so much happier and safer, it's insane. In addition to sending federal agents to Portland to protect government property from protesters, the White House said it is sending agents to other cities, including Detroit, Albuquerque, Chicago, Milwaukee, Kansas City, and Cleveland, as part of a program aimed at curbing violent crime. That should be a very strong program and one with strong public support. The program, known as Operation Legend, is named after Legend Taliaferro, a boy who was killed in Kansas City earlier this year. Though many of America's biggest cities are run by Democrats, the rise in killings is a bipartisan problem, points out the Wall Street Journal. Homicides are rising at a double-digit rate in most of the big cities run by Republicans as well, including Miami, San Diego, Omaha, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Jacksonville, Florida, as well as cities run by Democrats and in the two major cities run by independents, that's San Antonio and Las Vegas. This is not a Democrat problem. It's not a Republican problem. It's an American problem. And unless we're able to actually get together across party lines to do something about it, to, number one, to curb the spread of the pandemic wherever possible, to maybe do something to provide some economic relief for the people who are suffering from the pandemic and the lockdowns, and then to do something about the crime and the violence on the streets and the children who are regularly killed in this gang violence. You can't do it without police. It is the wrong time for police layoffs. It is the wrong time for defunding. It is the right time to support law enforcement all across the board in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Get a Wi-Fi signal where you want it? There's a new solution out there from Sea Crane. It extends your Wi-Fi range up to half a mile away. Wi-Fi is super important, but the Wi-Fi signal doesn't travel very far. Sea Crane has a new solution called the CC Vector Extended Long Range Wi-Fi System. It provides a new reliable Wi-Fi to half a mile away, and it works with all Wi-Fi devices and saves you the cost of a new internet service. The CC Vector Extended Long Range Wi-Fi System provides basic internet service for surfing the web, making Skype calls, watching standard quality video on TV, and most important, streaming audio from CRN Talk Radio. You must have a line of sight view between the CC Vector and your host router. Best of all, you have Sea Crane's friendly crew to help you set it up. Check it out, the CC Vector Extended Long Range Wi-Fi System at seacrane.com/booster. That's seacrane.com/booster or call 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863.
Hey, survival gardeners. Garden soil isn't what it used to be. In fact, many gardens are farmed out and some are functionally dead. That means adding back the right trace minerals to your soil can immediately catapult your garden fertility, which means, quite naturally, better tasting and more nutritionally dense fruits and vegetables. So if you got your garden in late and want to help your fruits and vegetables play catch-up, or you simply want to pour on the trace elements to maximize this year's harvest, I've got good news. It's not too late to give everything you've got growing this year in your garden a powerful, life-renewing turbo boost. And the best part? This unique product creates a type of trace mineral synergy, which means that each mineral and trace element in the formula makes all the other minerals and trace elements much more effective than if they were used alone. Go to cmazing.net to turbo boost your garden. That's cmazing.net. Improve flavor, increase your harvest. Go to cmazing.net.